96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It was, and still is, Black Pride in Black and White, the Afro-American newspapers, one of only a very few still reporting on news stories in the black community. Tonight, we take a look at this venerable newspaper as it celebrates 125 years. My guests are Jake Oliver, publisher and chairman of the board of the Afro-American Newspapers, and Edgar Brookins, managing editor. Lines are open if you have a question or a comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Jake, Edgar, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it. And
thank
congratulations.
You, thanks.
Thank you.
Pleased to be here.
I want to talk about the anniversary and some of the other events, but let's get to the news first. Edgar, it's been a while since you've been here talking about the news, but some would say this is a big black day for news. O.J. Simpson now heading toward life as a free man after almost 9 years in prison for a 2007 robbery. What are your thoughts about this today? It almost seems as if this O.J. Simpson saga has come full circle.
I would say so. When you think back to 9 years ago when he was placed in prison, and of course you cannot detach it from what happened before that. You know, it was not part of the deliberations today. But we come full circle. Again, we see him walking. A lot of folks upset about that. A lot of folks happy about it. But that's diversity. That's our community. That is the community at large. And so the justice system as it is has worked to his favor in this particular instance.
Jake, from your perspective, when you look at this, is this a black story? Is this one of the stories that would be at the top banner, a headline for the Afro-American?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Everything about Juice is black, starting from the trial way back when, which really separated the blacks and the whites. We were rooting for our hero, who had been our hero for a long time. And we really always had serious doubts as to whether or not he had actually committed that crime. And we were vindicated as a result of the jury's decision. And then to have him turn around and on the basis of another criminal act that he was accused of, but this time being convicted and sentenced to what we considered to be an enormously unfair sentence, which was extremely wrong and indeed unusually long, particularly for that state. We felt that once again, we got away with the first one, but we're paying the price for the second one. And the only reason why he got such a long sentence, we believe, is because of the fact that he was black and they still had the aftertaste of the first trial.
And interestingly enough, during today's parole hearing, he still, as you said, Edgar, he could not escape the murder trial of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown because it was even mentioned but not included in the decision by the members of the parole board. But here's another piece. How might you think that the Afro-American newspapers might cover this differently compared to mainstream? And this is why I ask. We had a lot of discussions about the hot mic situation while he was waiting on a decision where you had the networks, they were what we call rolling on it. You could hear everything that was being said by Simpson and others while they were waiting on that decision, and he could have said anything. Do you think that was appropriate, or do you think that was inappropriate, done intentionally? What do you think?
Well, I certainly think when I was listening to that they got this thing live and hearing his comments, the lawyer and whoever this other person was in the room that they never showed. I said, that is not cool, because he may be, and I'm not sure he was aware that it was live. And so I think that was inappropriate for them to do so. But again, the major media looking to capture something there on the spot for their purposes, that's what they did.
How might we how might the Afro have covered this differently compared to other mainstream media outlets?
We would attempt to be reflective of the community. So we would have lots of reactions from various, the church, pastors, various political leaders, the man on the street. And indeed, that's what we did when the trial verdict was rendered. We really do want to reflect the angst and the anxiety of the community, which we feel we have a better posturing to be able to reflect than the mainstream.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. Lines are open. 125 years, Jake. You got a little gray, but you're not that old.
I got hair still.
But what does that mean? Not just for the newspaper, but for the black community, still hungering for news about its community.
To us, it's a benchmark. We use this as an opportunity to be reflective, to give our community and our audience a sense of how we got here, and what does here really mean, mm-hmm. and has it really changed? We like to look at it by the decades, starting from the first decade in 20th century, or even before then, because we were founded in 1892, to give our readers a clear sense of the challenges, how we were able to overcome them by decades, and to give them an opportunity also to compare those challenges to today's challenges. And it's interesting because, you know, the old adage, the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but reflect that seems to be the pattern. Mm-hmm. We are constantly scrutinized more than anybody else, any other American citizen group, particularly whites specifically. We are always subjected to what we consider to be unfair type steps that deprive us of important things which we have grown up to be called civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that civil rights awareness, that civil rights sensitivity becomes heightened. Because, you know, what was interesting as we started to really analyze the first century of the first decade of the 20th century, we realized that we were just out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And the population had a major hesitation, number one. But number two, a large segment of our population indeed did not know how to read, because we were not permitted to learn how to read, because a large segment of us had been enslaved. And they were still made a large portion of our population. So there was a reservation, there was a politeness, and there was a hesitation about voicing what we considered to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Lynchings. It took a while to really be able to begin to stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate that. It started as almost like a whisper. Ida B. Wells was really important in helping us recognize that, no, we don't have to accept this, because we are citizens just as much as the white folks are. And we are entitled to a trial. But it, even in spite of her objections and the way she had to really at first it was in Memphis, and then they ran her out of town. And then she moved to Chicago, and she had to really over and over again get the—she represented an ignition of us, yes, you know, eventually they started to listen and they realized she's right.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. Lines are open if you have a question or comment. Lois, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Lois. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for letting me cut in. I'd like to ask the gentleman from the Afro newspaper if he could please expand his scope of people that he would target for getting more information for the O.J. Simpson case. You have professional black African-Americans out here who have a voice also that aren't clergy, that aren't politicians. I think we would like to be heard, too.
Sure.
Well, we have something to say.
Well, you have the mic. What do you have to say?
Yeah, thank you. So I believe that the discussion or whatever you publish about O.J. Simpson should be comprehensive. It should have both pros and cons, you know, because, yes, he's a black man. It was a black trial. Yes, I say yay when he got acquitted before, but there was always that doubt, of course, and now there's even more doubt that for the first one. The second one, I just thought he was just stuck on stupid. So there's nothing much you could do about someone stuck on stupid doing stupid things. So he got caught. He paid for it. 9 years was definitely too long. Mm-hmm. 30 years was too long. I think it was a 30-year sentence, and he got nine. Mm-hmm. All of it was too long for stealing something, but they claim he was trying to kidnap. Well, we're not even going there. But I think there's a comprehensive approach to the entire O.J. saga that the Afro newspaper has an opportunity to reflect on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Lois, thank you. Lois, thank you so much. I appreciate your comments, and thank you for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lois makes an interesting point, and to a broader issue. Edgar, is it difficult when you are a newspaper, whether you're talking about covering, the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s, or President Barack Obama, is it difficult to be critical when appropriate for a black newspaper?
Well, I think, and I'm speaking from the perspective of the Afro newspaper, that we take the approach that the news is the news. There has to be balance in our presentation. Yet at the same time, we are cognizant that we got to reflect our community thoughts and ideas and positions in regards to whatever the issue of the person may be. So it does present some challenges, but we take the time to assess and make the determination to reach our community, because that's our audience. And so sometimes the question is, do we or can we be critical of our leaders? Of course. Mm-hmm. If we need to do so, we do so. The one thing that has kept me at the Afro now for 27 years mm-hmm. is that level of professionalism in terms of their approach to the journalism, the editorial approach to capturing the complete story and to reach all segments of our community at large. Mm-hmm.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Real quick, you've got a gala coming up to celebrate it. And if you want information about it, you can find it at afro125.com. That's afro125.com. But real quick, Jake, your thoughts about what this gala will be. I've got about 30 seconds before my break.
Okay, it's a celebration. It's first of all, we're going to be honoring three people who we believe personify high achievement. Margot Lee Shetterly, who is the author of Hidden Figures. We think that as a African-American woman, she is the epitome of accomplishments. Mm-hmm. A journalist, but also reflected in her Hidden Figures of black women who historically have been denied visual sort of gratification.
Hold that point, because I want to talk a little bit more about the gala, but information about it can be found online at afro125.com. Stay with us. Miss D. Charles will be talking to you next. We're talking about 125 years of the Afro-American newspapers. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. We'll continue this conversation in just a bit. Stay with us.